Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and today's date is Thursday, July 5th, 2012. And here's a little look at what we have coming up tonight.
Tonight, shocking video reveals the truth behind the Syrian freedom fighters. Plus, the fog of the InfoWar, as DARPA wants to bust whistleblowers with disinformation technology. Then, the chief administrator for the Drug Enforcement Agency shares her expertise.
Is heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
All illegal drugs are bad.
Does this mean you don't know?
Heroin causes an addiction.
Okay.
It causes many problems and is very hard to kick.
So does that mean that the health impact of heroin is worse than marijuana? Is that what you're telling me?
I think you're asking a subjective question.
No, it's objective. Just looking at the science, this is your area of expertise.
Meanwhile, law enforcement officers in Long Beach are caught on tape using excessive force in a raid on a marijuana dispensary. Plus, Mike Adams, the health ranger, talks with Rob Dew about the Merck vaccine fraud. All that, plus much more, up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Our top story tonight was going to be the $3 billion fine levied against GlaxoSmithKline because they were misleading people about Paxil and pushing it on kids. But we're going to cover that with Mike Adams in the next segment. So we move on to tests point to possible Arafat poisoning, and that is out of Al Jazeera from July 3rd, 2012. 8 years after his death, it remains a mystery what exactly killed the longtime Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat. And basically, his wife sent some samples of his toothbrush, his headpiece, some of his clothing in to be tested, and it was found to contain abnormal levels of polonium, a rare, highly active radioactive element. And the tests carried out, the sample suggested there was high levels of polonium inside his body when he died, and that was the same substance which killed a Russian activist back a couple years ago. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. Now we move on to Syria. Shocking videos reveal the truth behind Syrian freedom fighters, and this is by Paul Joseph Watson. And despite the fact that both parties on both sides of the conflict in Syria have been responsible for violence, the international NATO-aligned media has often hyped the dubious accusations of Assad-sponsored massacres while virtually ignoring massacres, beheadings, and other acts of brutality by other rebel insurgents. And we're going to go to this shot here. I actually pulled up some of the videos. Some of it I couldn't even show you. It's so graphic and disgusting what's going on. So let's roll that clip. This is the atrocities. Here's some young children that were gunned down, obviously. I mean, I couldn't even show you that video. There's just a still of that. There's a civilian that was hung who was supposedly aligned with Assad, and then they shot his body up. The next video is some U.S. mercenaries torture and hang, then shoot mentally ill person. And while they're doing that, they're shouting Allah Akbar. And then here's a child that was shot. And here's some more activists that were shot. They were pro-Assad activists, and they were kidnapped, tortured, and killed by Syrian rebels. The next one is a bunch of activists that were thrown into a ditch. There's a guy who was beheaded. And honestly, I didn't want to show you this video. It's gruesome. It's horrible. If you want to go to the article is called Shocking Videos Reveal Truth Behind Syrian Freedom Fighters, and it's by Paul Joseph Watson. It was on yesterday's InfoWars. You can probably find it in the archive, featured archive section, or the featured stories archive. So I encourage you to go look at that. Now, below those videos, there's another set of videos, and this was fake videos that were put out by anti-Assad forces. It shows people putting on, you know, fake wounds. It shows there's some guys there. Look, there's their head wounds. Peace, everybody. You know, we're doing the right thing. We're creating fake propaganda. I mean, it's not even real atrocities. So they're lined up. There was another video. It shows some guy kicking his leg and with a fake blood wound. Here's a guy who wakes up from his funeral. Watch this. They're reading. Oh, there. Oh, wait. There. Oh, he's awake. He's not even really dead. And so, I mean, this is just crazy what goes on. There was another video that was shot of a supposed massacre. and it cuts, you don't see the whole thing. When you go to the Al Jazeera footage, it shows real quick clips of a guy kicking his leg and he's got blood coming out, which turns out to be fake blood. And then another guy that they're dragging who said he didn't want any blood on him. And they show him dragging, and they're dragging him away in the Al Jazeera footage. So, wow, it'd be interesting if the mainstream media could put that out. Well, oh, actually they did today. Syrian hacktivists launch Al Jazeera cyber attack. And this is really interesting. Al Jazeera's stream Twitter account was hacked today by a group labeling itself as the Syrian Electronic Army, or SEA. As soon as the hackers gained access to the account, they began sending out InfoWar stories about the real situation in Syria. I just want to go on the record. We were not responsible for that attack in any way, shape, or form. We don't engage in that kind of behavior. But I think it was very interesting. I'm going to go ahead and read you some of the tweets. One of the first tweets to be sent out after the attack was a link to a recent InfoWars story entitled Syrian Rebels Ransack Christian Churches. All right, and you can see that's the actual tweet right there. The second one, another tweet entitled The Truth Finally Revealed About Syria's Insurgency, which was what we just showed you, which included a link from our story yesterday, was a companion of videos showing how rebel insurgents were responsible for massacres, beheadings, and other acts of brutality, as well as staging fake massacre and death videos to falsely implicate the Syrian government. And there's the Twitter page right there where you can actually see the actual tweets that went out under Al Jazeera. So I'd like to give a special thanks out to the Syrian Electronic Army. Thank you for putting out the truth through the mainstream media, or one of its arms, Al Jazeera, and attempting to show people what is really going on, or at least giving both sides of the story. I'm sure both sides are at fault in some way or another, and it's a conflict that we shouldn't get involved in. But you know what's going to happen. We're going to commit our troops and our resources to that and start another regime change and install our puppets that eventually won't do our bidding, so we'll have to send another army in to clean up that mess. Moving on, the fog of InfoWar, DARPA wants to bust whistleblowers with disinformation technology. That's from Steve Watson. And DARPA wants to stop whistleblowers before they can leak any data by enticing them with fake documents and information that will reveal their identities. Wonder how much they spent on that. In a recent paper for the DOD's technological research arm, contractors note that they have constructed a prototype for automatically generating and distributing believable misinformation and then tracking access and attempted misuse of it. We call this disinformation technology, the paper continues. That's what they're going to do. They're going to spend their time creating, you know, blueprints or fake papers or fake government documents that then will get put out there. We'll pick it up. Maybe other sites will pick it up. And then they can come out and say, oh, no, that was disinformation. That's not even really true. So who knows? Nobody's going to believe anything that comes out anymore. So it works for them twofold. A secrecy expert, Steve Aftergood, had this comment. He says, if only researchers devoted as much ingenuity to combating spurious secrecy and needless classification, shrinking the universe of secret information would have a better way to simplify the task of securing the remainder, Aftergood noted in his email to Danger Room. The DARPA approach seems to be based on the assumption that whatever is classified is properly classified and that leaks may occur randomly throughout the system. But neither of those assumptions is likely to be true, he noted. So there you go. Your government's going to spend a lot of money to create a bunch of BS that may or may not get reported just so they could find the people who are good people out there and who would turn in that information. But it's interesting. What if they didn't see that information? What if it's like, you know, the U.S. government drops babies in acid to see how quickly they'll dissolve, and they put that information out there? Well, that's information anybody would put out there, any reasonable thinking human being. So they're going to go around and then single out those people and probably prosecute them for blowing, you know, government secrets and all that other nonsense. It's crazy. Now, on today's show, Alex had me in there. He was talking about this story here. TSA demands bizarre new power to test drinks purchased in airports. And this is something that I actually witnessed. Alex had witnessed it, but I guess we're so used to that kind of stuff going on. Anyway, here's the quote. Rules on taking liquids through airport security passed in the aftermath of the highly dubious attempted liquid bombing incident in 2006, which completely collapsed in court, have already been savaged as pointless and unnecessary. Mothers are forced to drink their own breast milk in a procedure that seems to be designed to achieve little else than humiliating the traveler. In one incident earlier this year, working mother Amy Strand was even made to pump breast milk into her empty feeding bottles before being allowed through security. So, and I had actually witnessed something like this. I had witnessed a line of people. We were about to get on our flight. And it, you know, it happens right as they're calling our number to get on, you know, another cattle call situation. They start wanting to come up to travelers like, open up your drink. Let me see it. Let me see what you got there. So here's a little bit of what we talked about today on the Alex Jones Show.
I saw Rob Dude down by the water cooler, and he said, oh, yeah, you know, you have us fly a lot to interviews. We see that all the time. Well, next time, get footage of it, because all the time, I saw the new zombie rounds they're selling. Like 3 months ago, all it is super double aught buck, basically military type buckshot. I mean, it does have a bigger kick when you pull the trigger. And I thought, man, that's a good news article. I bought some to have the guys do it. And a month later, it was big national news. Mm-hmm. We got to go with our instincts, not just to get big national news, but what's important.
Right.
That's probably why I never did anything with the zombie rounds. Why is that really important? Well, it shows how they're getting into this whole zombie culture and how what they program, people start to behave like.
They're making a zombie theme park in Detroit right now.
Exactly. And that was my next point. I meant to cover that on Monday. On this TSA front, it's about mindlessly doing what they say. They now even do searches at the gate. Mm-hmm. Why did I never videotape that? Because that's never been on the news. Why? I mean, they do swabbing, but you have seen what I'm talking about. But you saw something I haven't seen where people beg to prove they're minions.
Right.
And see, that's the behavior they're looking for. Stockholm Syndrome. Tell folks what you saw.
It was literally bizarre. Waiting in line to get in. It was a Southwest Airlines flight, and they had the TSA.
Do you remember where?
It was in Austin. It was in Austin. We were taking off somewhere. I think I was with Aaron, probably with Aaron, because we traveled the most together. I remember seeing the cart, and you know, they walk up to someone, sir, let me check your drink, and they hold the little slip over it, whatever it's got. It detects for bomb residue, and they hold that over the drink, and they say, okay, you can cap it up, and they did it to somebody else. And then this old lady walks up. She goes, can you test mine? I mean, it's literally this old little old lady voice. I couldn't believe it. You know, we're actually walking to get on the plane, and I didn't want to, you know, obviously I didn't want to get drug into a search, or I would have taped it. But next time I'll just tape it, and we'll just let the chips forward.
Well, I mean, it's easy. You just get it up and get footage of it, because people, because, I mean, this is now, quote, breaking. I've seen this at least for 3 years.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This was a while back, because I haven't traveled in a while, and it was in sort of in the middle of when we were traveling, you know.
It was when I was on that JAG getting video of everybody for like two films I never made.
Exactly.
Well, we just aired all the interviews anyways.
There's a lot of good interviews. I mean, and you know, what I like about that is that we usually when we do a video or a DVD, they don't get to see the whole interview. You know, they get to see like parts of it. Well, here you get to see the whole thing and a lot of information that people are putting out there.
Well, that's why I haven't made a film in 2 years. I mean, we make films every week. They're like 20 minutes long, an hour long. We're just blasting in all directions. Production quality's even higher. Yeah. It's just blasting, blasting, blasting. But I do need to make a film just because they get seen 30, 40 million times instead of a half million times. But you add up all the little films, it's more views, which is what I want, is to get the word out.
Right.
But the films, it does have this event feeling. For whatever reason, people see it as a film.
It's time to go watch it. Get everybody together.
Yeah. But I mean, every day is a film. Every day is, you know, we have like some days 3 hour long nightly news now.
I watched Dreams of a Real Father this morning. I got up at 7. I'm like, well, nobody's up. I'm going to watch this. And I watched it. I was blown away by it.
You've been so busy. You know why I was flipping out then?
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, we have in the TSA shirts, not just in the Fed shirts, available at Infowars.com, Infowarsshop.com. That supports us. And the reason I say that is we have Dreams of My Real Father. It's not even on sale till July 24th. We got contacted by the filmmaker, and they've been allowed to sell it early. I don't know why they just dropped that in our... I never even asked the guy, why are you letting me just sell it first?
He knows you're the tip of the spear.
I mean, I guess that's a good thing for everybody, because we got a big gas tank to fill around here. Infowarsshop.com or 888-253-3139. But good. It's good now that this is breaking. I mean, I'm not like, oh, this has gone on 3 years. It's finally local news covers it, so now it's real. Right. Now we're allowed to talk about it.
Right.
Because KJCT8 said so.
They gave us permission.
I mean, remember TSA for years said, we don't grope. Oh, you just go down the pants. I mean, that's not groping.
So that was a little interesting back and forth me and Alex had on that. And if you see that out there of TSA testing people right as they're trying to board the plane, testing their liquids, shoot some video of it. Send it to us at either robd@infowars.com. You know, of course, put it on YouTube and send us the link. We'd love to give you those hits, and especially if something like that were to get on Drudge. Moving on to the war on drugs. Actually, before I go to this article, I want to play you this testimony came out. This is from Michelle Leahart from she's the head of the DEA. So we're going to play this first clip, and then we're going to come back and read the story that it's based on. So here's that clip.
Is crack worse for a person than marijuana?
I believe all illegal drugs are bad.
Is methamphetamine worse for somebody's health than marijuana?
I don't think any illegal drug is good.
Is heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
Again, all
I mean, either yes, no, or I don't know. I mean, if you don't know, you can look this up. You should know this as the chief administrator for the Drug Enforcement Agency. I'm asking you a very straightforward question. Is heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
All illegal drugs are bad.
Does this mean you don't know?
Heroin causes an addiction.
Okay.
It causes many problems. It's very hard to kick.
So does that mean that the health impact of heroin is worse than marijuana? Is that what you're telling me?
I think you're asking a subjective question.
No, it's objective. Just looking at the science, this is your area of expertise. I'm a layperson, but I've read some of the studies. I'm aware of it. I'm just asking you as an expert in the subject area, is heroin or someone's health in marijuana?
And I'm answering as a police officer and as a DEA agent that these drugs are illegal because they are dangerous, because they are addictive, because they do hurt a person's health.
So heroin is more addictive than marijuana? Is heroin more addictive than marijuana in your experience?
Generally, the properties of heroin, yes, it's more addictive.
Is methamphetamine more addictive than marijuana?
So all illegal drugs are bad. All illegal drugs are bad, no matter what they are. They're bad, they're bad, they're all bad the same. They're just bad. That's the only thing she could get out of her mouth in that testimony with the Democratic congressman from Colorado. But now, well, I guess the other arm of the government doesn't know what one's doing. So from Raw Story, government-sponsored study destroys DEA's classification of marijuana. A government-sponsored study published recently in the Open Neurology Journal concludes that marijuana provides much-needed relief to some chronic pain sufferers, and more clinical trials are desperately needed, utterly destroying U.S. DEA's agency's classification of the drug as having no medical uses. While numerous prior studies have shown marijuana's usefulness for a host of medical conditions, none have ever gone directly at the DEA's placement of marijuana atop the schedule, which is Schedule 1 of controlled substances. This study, sponsored by the state of California and conducted by the University of California Center for Medical Cannabis Research, does precisely that, driving a stake into the heart of America's continued war on marijuana by calling Schedule 1 placement simply not accurate and not tenable. So I guess you could say that was a DEA fail in her little classification there. And moving on, also, it says the DEA, as the DEA describes it, drugs listed in Schedule 1 have no currently accepted medical use and treatment in the United States and therefore may not be described, administered, or dispensed for medical use. Well, as you know, hemp was used for, you know, a couple centuries in this country to making rope, paper. You could eat the seeds. You can do all kinds of things with it. Daimler made his engines to run on hemp fuel oil before he was mysteriously killed. But that's a whole other story. So you can read the rest of that on Raw Story. It was very interesting. And here's a second part of that testimony where the congressman is interviewing the DEA head, who makes $167,000 a year, by the way, to look like that and keep giving those same answers. Here he's talking about prescription drugs. So we're going to roll that clip.
Your top priority, I believe you indicated to us, is abuse of prescription drugs. Is one of the main classifications of prescription drugs painkillers that you're concerned about?
That's correct.
And are those painkillers addictive?
Yes, they are. Very addictive.
Are those painkillers more addictive than marijuana?
All illegal drugs are in Schedule 1 are addictive.
Well, again, this is a health-based question, and I know you're obviously you have a law enforcement background, but I'm sure you're also familiar, given your position, with the science of the matter. And I'm asking, you know, again, clearly your agency has established abuse of prescription drugs as the top priority. Is that therefore an indication that prescription drugs are more addictive than marijuana?
all illegal drugs are addictive.
Okay, your agency has established abusive prescription drugs as its top priority. You've indicated as much to us. Does that mean that abusive prescription drugs is a greater threat to the public health than marijuana?
Because it's an emerging threat, because people are turning to prescription drugs then faster than any other drug, that is why we prioritize it.
Okay, so now we know that the DEA's top priority is prescription drugs and how they're spread out. That's their top priority, that's what she said. But caught on video, Long Beach pot shop raid. And a raid on a marijuana dispensary in Long Beach was caught on video showing officers smashing surveillance cameras and stepping on a suspect. Moves that prompted accusations of the officer's excessive force. There you can see him now, they're going to put their foot right on his neck. That was on the volunteer employee Dorian Brooks volunteers. This guy's not even getting paid. One of the officers is seen stepping on volunteer employee Dorian Brooks' back with both feet before stepping on his neck with what Brooks described as 300 pounds of pressure. And then, of course, they see the security cameras go, and then they smash it with a metal rod after they realize that they're being watched and recorded. That's the one thing the vampires don't like. They don't like being watched and recorded. And now they're going to pick up another metal rod and smash the other camera. Because that's what cops are allowed to do. They're allowed to break property and do whatever they want. Look at that. There it is. It's gone. Now they could just go on and beat up people, break stuff, steal, and nothing will ever happen. You'll never see anything of that ever again. So I felt violated and disrespected, Brooks said. Well, you're a lot more than that. Sounds like you have a lawsuit on your hands. Because police said the dispensary was operating under state compliance but did not have a city permit. So they did everything right with the state. They didn't have a problem with the city permit. Which, here's a Huffington Post article that I found today. And it was from the makers of oxycodone, or the unapproved makers of oxycodone. They actually have 45 days to cease manufacturing. So if you're manufacturing a pharmaceutical product, quote unquote, we're going to cut you some slack. You've been making this pirated product now for who knows how long, making untold billions of dollars. But now you're going to have 45 days to stop. It was probably sent to them with a letter. Okay, but if you're operating a pot dispensary within state law, but not within city law, well, we're going to come in, we're going to break your stuff, we're going to step on your neck, and we're going to treat you like a common criminal. That's the way it is in America. So get used to it out there, pot dispensaries. And so here's a list of the five people that were arrested in that raid. Dallas Alexander, Fernando Garcia, Mario Sanchez, Dorian Brooks, and Landon Alexander. They complied with state law, but it just wasn't good enough for the city of Long Beach. Interesting. We're going to come back with Mike Adams sitting in, and we're going to be talking about GlaxoSmithKline and Merck and the trouble that they've got into. But let's go to the Daily Quote, and this is from Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. When asked if she would like to go through the new pat-downs, she said, not if I could avoid it. No, I mean, who would? That's right. Nobody likes to be groped. Nobody likes to be fondled. We like our decency. We like our privacy. And we don't need the TSA definitely groping us as we're trying to go travel. It's hectic enough as it is. The airports have enough trouble as it is. And you know that story. But there's Secretary of State Hillary Clinton saying, no, please don't touch me, because nobody likes it. That's our first segment. We'll be right back after this message from ProPure, and we're going to show a little clip from Planet InfoWars, which is, if you're not a member, you need to get on Planet InfoWars, because it's the place to be. PlanetInfoWars.com, and we'll be right back after this.
globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure. And it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
Hi, I'm Christy Hightower, site moderator on Planet InfoWars, here to let you know how patriots like you are talking this week. Have you ever thought about the greatest risk to civilization biologically referencing? Well, user Rosso has, and in his article, The Greatest Biological Threats to Civilization, he references something like 20 different known biological threats, anthrax, cholera, Ebola, different things like that. He gives you fatality rates, symptoms, how it would affect you. And these are just the ones that we know about, much less ones that might already be developing against us. Then there's an article by Inlike Flint, The Universe, Ancient Astronauts in Atlantis. He starts by telling you a story from his childhood, how his fascination with aliens from above coming down and giving us technology from ancient civilizations ago, and how the in the know now are holding this information, withholding it from us. So that being said, it leads me into our last article, Food Stamps, President Obama Wants You on Food Stamps. This is actually a great article for many reasons. Melissa Melton is actually one of the reporters from the reporter contest. And this article was featured on the InfoWars homepage, and it's still a featured article. She talks about how skyrocketing food stamp usage during Obama's presidency, something like 100%. She gives great references. She is well-spoken and had a great response to her article. So that being said, we are looking out for great articles, well-written, well-referenced. So keep up the good work, you patriots out there. And that being said, also, some other things on Planet InfoWars, you can find the deal of the day, like in the Fed t-shirt. We had that on sale for $12.95 in the sidebar, and that's only on Planet InfoWars. Other things like groups that you can join, get active, create missions, meet people in your local area. So keep up the good work. We are paying attention, and thank you so much, patriots. Till next week.
Welcome back to InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew, and we got Mike Adams standing in the wings. But first, I wanted to cover a couple articles that we had on Natural News. The first one, GlaxoSmithKline admits to criminal pharma fraud in $3 billion case. And that's the settlement that they offered up, and it's the largest sum of its kind over healthcare fraud. Well, what was the fraud, you ask? Well, they were telling everybody that Paxil is okay for kids. That's basically the meat and potatoes of it. They were saying, Paxil, sure, it's fine for kids. Go ahead. You know, we love them to be on these pharmaceuticals because that's a whole other market for us. The under 18-year-olds, are you kidding me? With all this ADHD that we've been pushing for years as a big problem? Oh, man. So they were able to get that in and make tons of money off of it. In fact, it looks like the market value is $133 billion for the drugs that they were pushing, which were Paxil, and there was a couple others on here. Wellbutrin and Avandia. Those are the other drugs that were alleged in that pricing fraud. And so, you know, $133 billion profit, and we only have to pay a $3 billion fine. That's cost of doing business there with the drug companies. That's pretty much what you could expect. And that also leads us into this article, Merck vaccine fraud exposed by two Merck virologists. And we covered this yesterday with on the 3rd with Alex. Fake mumps vaccine efficacy results for over a decade, says the lawsuit. And this was a lawsuit out of Alabama that was filed. And basically, they falsified their test results to say it was 95% effective. They spiked the blood with animal antibodies. And this has been going on since the late 1990s. And this was according to two virologists, Stephen Crawling and Joan Wachowski. And Alex mentioned another test today that he was getting the number wrong on, and this had to do with a polio vaccine pushed by Bill Gates. And here's the article from InfoWars back on April 6th. Paralysis cases spike in wake of Bill Gates' polio vaccine effort in India. And if you go down and read that article, it shows that over 47,000 children were infected with polio and were paralyzed. They were paralyzed from it. There it is. There were 47,000 cases of non-polio paralysis reported in 2011. And that was the same year it was declared polio-free. So, you know, I guess that's just the cost of doing business once again. And with more on these pharmaceutical articles, we turn to the man who, well, brings us the news on all things health-related. It's the Health Ranger, Mike Adams. How's it going today, Mike?
Hello. Hey, Rob. It's going great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
A lot of crazy news.
It sure is. Let's go ahead and start off with the Merck vaccine fraud exposed article that you put up, and it was just a couple days ago on Natural News, and or a few days ago. It was published last week. What does this mean for Merck? What is going to happen to them over this?
Well, this is a huge breaking news issue. Two Merck virologists who actually, you know, worked for the company came out in 2010, went public with a False Claims Act document. That document has actually just now been made public, but they went on the record with it to say that Merck knowingly falsified the claim that its mumps vaccines were 95% efficacious, meaning that they worked on 95% of the people. According to these two scientists, that claim is completely faked, and Merck faked it by spiking the blood test with animal antibodies. This is outright criminal fraud, and they got caught, and now Merck is being sued. This vindicates what we've said about Merck. With the falsified data, the dishonesty, they use this to defraud the U.S. government and other governments out of literally hundreds of billions of dollars over the last several years, selling a mumps vaccine that doesn't work the way they claimed it did, Rob.
Right. And I was sharing with you earlier that back in, I think it was, I was in high school, it was either my freshman or sophomore year, and there was a big mumps epidemic going around. This was Sulphur High School, if anybody wants to research that, but at least 20 or 30 people caught the mumps. I was one of the guys to catch it and sat in bed for a week playing on my Macintosh computer and watching reruns of Murder, She Wrote. So it was a really interesting time. But you know what? I had the vaccine. I actually got vaccinated because, you know, my parents weren't aware of this stuff at the time, like most people's parents my age. But we didn't get as many vaccines either. We got a pittance to what they want to poke in you now. But I still I still got it. So it didn't work for me. When I told this to another doctor later on having these talks, the doctor said, well, you probably just needed a booster, you know, just more of the same, you know.
This is just pure mythology. The whole thing is fabricated. It's a massive medical scam, maybe the largest in the history of modern medicine. And it's in fact a lawsuit filed against Merck by Chatham Primary Care out of Alabama states that Merck's deception here has actually contributed to the spread of mumps, so that this false claim about the vaccine and the vaccine's weakness that is mentioned in this lawsuit has actually made measles and mumps spread more easily across the population. In other words, according to this lawsuit, Merck is actually contributing to the very epidemics that they then use to sell their product, which doesn't even work.
Right.
So what an amazing scam. And this is disease mongering. This is problem reaction solution. This is big pharma at work exploiting people's bodies for profit and selling a lie to governments and hospitals and individuals and doctors. It is a total scam, and it's now breaking wide open.
And this is par for the course. We've seen the SV40 virus that was in the polio vaccine that causes cancer that they knowingly put in. And, you know, oh, we didn't tell anybody because we didn't want to make a big deal out of it. Was their explanation. But, you know, Merck was using this as their headline. You know, it's 95% effective. Take it, take it, take it. And now that's just falling on their face. I want to give a quick shout out to Stephen Crawling and Joan Wachowski. two of the Merck virologists who I guess no longer work there anymore, but they came out, they whistleblowed, they did what they're supposed to do when they see something, you know, illegal and unethical and dangerous. That kind of behavior is just it's dangerous if nothing else.
Yes, they were threatened, Rob. They were threatened, and there were attempts to silence them. Let me read you some words right out of the Chatham lawsuit against Merck. It says that Merck engaged in, quote, a decade-long scheme to falsify and misrepresent the true efficacy of its vaccine, and it destroyed evidence of the falsified data and then lied to the FDA. That it threatened a virologist, those are the two individuals you spoke of, mm-hmm. in Merck's vaccine division with jail time if they reported the fraud to the FDA. There's so much more to this. You got to see these documents, the Chatham lawsuit PDF. It's full of the allegations made against Merck. But, of course, Merck says, what? Huh? We wouldn't do anything dishonest. This is completely false. So, you know, for the record, Merck denies everything.
Well, there you go. Of course, they're going to deny. And I smell probably an FDA collusion cover-up going to come along this. They'll probably pay a small fine. It's not going to, you know, pay back the people who've had to take this vaccine or who think they've been forced to take this vaccine. Because, you know, that's one of the shots on the list that you have to take if you want to get into the government training center.
Oh, it's incredible, too. If you look at what will not happen as a result of this, think about this. If you as an individual went out and committed fraud and generated hundreds of millions of dollars in profit based on a lie, selling a fraudulent product to the government, you would be arrested and thrown in jail and have a felony on your record, and you could never do business with the government again. You might not even be able to get a job. But when Merck does it, and other companies like GlaxoSmithKline, which we'll talk about in a minute, they're always let off the hook. All they do is pay a fine, no felony corporate record, so to speak, and they can continue to do business with the United States government and under the guidance of the FDA, which is the protection arm of Big Pharma. Nothing ever happens to these companies. They simply, even Pfizer previously created a shell company to take the hit of a Justice Department investigation. So imagine, Rob, what if you went out and shot somebody on the street, but you created a fictitious Rob Due to take the hit and you sent that guy to jail while you kept on shooting other people and getting away with it. That's what the kind of thing we're talking about.
That's ridiculous. And one thing I want to add, when I was having kids, we looked into, you know, vaccines. My wife wanted to look into them. I was already had my mind made up. But I said, you know what? I will do the research again. And I read every insert, and not the little sheet they give you, but I said, give me the inserts of every shot you want to give my son. And I should have brought some in today, but I didn't know it was going on the air. And if you read them, you go down, every single one of them said has not been tested for cancerous or mutagenic potential. Those are the exact words. And I remember because I highlighted that in every one, and I showed that to the doctor. I said, how come they don't test these to see if they cause cancer? And her response was, well, we don't do that because we don't give them to a person for 6 months or longer. And those are the terms that we've decided are what we test for if it's going to cause cancer. I said, but you give three shots over an 18-month period. That's longer than 6 months.
Sure.
How is that different? And it says those words, and you can look it up. If you don't believe me, go check it out for yourself. Ask for the insert, and it says, has not been tested for cancerous or mutagenic potential. So they're washing their hands of causing cancer right there.
Well, that's a great example of how brainwashed the doctors and the pharmacists are over vaccines. And if you look at this situation with Merck, the fact that it came out, they fabricated their test results, fabricated the claims. We now know that all the doctors and pharmacists who pushed these mumps vaccines over the years have now been made complete fools. They bought into the lie. They said the vaccine's 95% effective. It turns out they were repeating a lie, and they did not know what they were talking about. So once again, as the truth comes out, we realize that when doctors talk about vaccines, they are ignorant of the facts. They don't know what they're talking about. And if you listen to them, you're putting your life at risk.
Yeah, they are reiterating talking points. If you hear safe and effective come out of their mouth, run the other direction. That's all I've got to say. Hey, let's move on to GlaxoSmithKline. They, you know, not the same thing. They lied about, what were they doing? They were pushing. They have physicians admitted to bribe potentially dangerous drugs in exchange for Madonna tickets, Hawaiian vacations, cash, and lucrative speaking tours. And this is in the case of Paxil, to get kids on Paxil, essentially.
Yeah, well, we've always talked about how drug companies bribe doctors, and a lot of people said that couldn't be, that wouldn't be going on. Well, now here it comes out, a $3 billion settlement between Glaxo and the U.S. government, the federal government, based over the evidence that Glaxo did bribe physicians, that they failed to report safety data of their Avandia drug to the FDA, that they engaged in pricing fraud, that they distributed misleading information about drugs like Paxil, saying that it was safe for children when, in fact, it had never been proven safe or effective for children. They misbranded drugs. I think the best summary of it is from U.S. Attorney for Massachusetts, Carmen Ortiz. He said, quote, the GlaxoSmithKline sales force bribed physicians to prescribe GSK products using every imaginable form of high-priced entertainment, from Hawaii vacations to paying doctors millions of dollars to go on speaking tours, to a European pheasant hunt, to tickets to Madonna concerts. Hey, Rob, I guess we're in the wrong business. We should be doctors, and we'll get paid millions to go tell lies about drugs for children.
Yeah, and get a bunch of kids hooked on stuff that's going to destroy their brain and make them unproductive members of society, that then we have to, under Obamacare, pay for these people for treatment. And it just goes on and on. And you know, Paxil is one of these drugs that if you start off on Ritalin, you know, they say you got ADHD, then they put you on Ritalin. Well, that doesn't work. Well, let's get them on Paxil. They must have problems. And we've also seen kids that have gone under CPS care who get prescribed this drug, you know, within 3 or 4 days of being under the care because they get more money for it. And it's really disturbing and disgusting.
They're put on multiple psychiatric drugs almost immediately, and, you know, that's a whole other story. But you mentioned Obamacare. This is a very important angle to understand, that Obamacare forces all Americans to do business with these criminal drug companies. Obamacare is a government-enforced racket, a monopoly of medicine that forces us to hand over money to the insurance companies that then hand over money to GlaxoSmithKline, Merck, mm-hmm. Pfizer, and all these other companies that have been caught committing fraud and criminal behavior. So Obamacare is forcing us to do business with criminals. What kind of government is that, man? It's crazy.
It's criminal. That's all you can say about it. And in the end of your article, you note that the market value for Paxil is $133 billion. So what's a $3 billion fine, Mike? That doesn't really affect me that much.
Well, that's exactly it. I think that these companies just factor into their criminal behavior a few billion dollars for paying off fines so the Justice Department can announce a victory. But it's still business as usual. They never get shut down. They never get denied doing business with the government. And the CEOs, Rob, never get arrested. They never get investigated. They should be marched out of there in jail. You know, all of the armed government agents that conduct these raw milk raids, they should be marching into the Pfizer headquarters and the Glaxo headquarters and the Merck headquarters with guns drawn to arrest the criminals that are committing these crimes. They should be marched out of there in handcuffs, the perp walk.
But instead, they're going after marijuana dispensaries that have all their state paperwork in order. Oh, but maybe they didn't put the city paperwork in order, so we're going to raid them and break their cameras and do anything we can to them because they didn't have it. And we covered another article that I guess the people make the knockoff oxycodone are getting 45 days to stop selling it and making it. Okay, but if you got a pot dispensary, that's it. We're coming in. We're breaking your stuff.
Well, that's it. I mean, we now let there be no doubt in anyone's mind that the U.S. government and the fascist corporate-run government system has become total runaway criminality. They do not respect law. They only pretend to even serve the interests of the people. In reality, they just get as much money and power as they can, and they betray the American people at every opportunity. They don't care how many people die from a pharmaceutical, as long as it's making money and they can keep justifying it. And the doctors play along with it. They allow themselves to be brainwashed and to become peddlers, drug dealers of dangerous prescription chemicals that are killing children, adults, and senior citizens by the hundreds of thousands in America
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Mike. Hey, anything else on your plate? What's coming up this weekend with Natural News? Any new tidbits of information that you've uncovered?
Well, yeah. We, you know, there's been a big announcement about the Higgs boson discovery. This is the so-called God particle, and CERN scientists announced that they had discovered this particle. But, you know, a lot of people don't know what really went on there. It's not even a particle, for one thing. And we're going to try to set the record straight with some additional articles on this. We've already posted a couple. But just so you know, briefly, this quote, discovery is nothing more than a statistical anomaly of computers that have sifted through trillions of samples of data from collisions in the super collider to see if they might be able to find a statistical aberration. And then they say, aha, that's the Higgs particle, and that supports our standard model of the universe. And therefore, hey, all the governments of the world, give us a few billion dollars in more funding, and we'll find even more particles for you. This is what's going on.
So they're just creating a giant circle in the middle of Switzerland there and basically just scamming everyone? Is this a scam or?
Well, it's hard to say. I can't say it's a scam, but it's a self-serving process. You know, these scientists aren't really looking at what is the nature of reality, how is consciousness involved in it, what are the origins of the universe and the divine and the role of the creator, for example. They don't think any of that exists. They're focused on particles and pieces of what they think is physical matter, and they're going to try to bankrupt all the governments of the world to give them more money so they think they can figure out how the universe began without God. That's their ultimate goal, Rob, is to say God doesn't exist and the universe, because of all these little particles and these weird quantum forces that they're going to, quote, discover with their super accelerators.
Wow. It reminds me of a Dr. Seuss story where the guy's got the boys in the back who are going to figure out something bigger and better to come along for the next problem that they might occur. Hey, Mike, that's all the time we have for today. People can catch Mike's articles, and I actually watched a great video of Rob Schneider that you guys posted on vaccines at naturalnews.com. And actually, how did you get a hold of that video? Where did you find that at?
That was sent to us by a tipster, and you may notice there's also Dr. Julian Whitaker is in the background in that video. But yeah, Rob Schneider came out and told the truth about vaccines. I love it when people from Hollywood, celebrities, comedians, and so on actually stand up and tell the truth. How refreshing is that? It was a great thing to see. And thanks for having me on today, Rob. It's always great to join you.
Yeah, no problem. That's Mike Adams at Natural News. And that is our show for today. I'd like to thank Mike for coming on. And for all the hard work that everybody's doing out there, Alex was supposed to do the show today, and obviously you guys saw his, if you're watching the show this morning, you saw the finger that he almost burned off. And so he's going home to take care of that and hopefully get some sleep. So he'll be back here tomorrow, ready to go with that three-hour Alex Jones show that has been, you know, the mainstay. I've been listening to Alex since 98, so you know, I love the show. I love turning it on, listening to it while we're working, preparing our stuff. So it's been great. Got to do the nightly news twice this week. And there's a In the Fed shirt there if you're interested in picking one of those up. I wore this into the bank today, and I got a couple weird looks from some of the bankers. So they know who their master is, and they're like, oh, you're talking bad about our master, the Fed. Oh. So anyway, that's our show for today. If you're watching this on YouTube, please consider subscribing at PrisonPlanet.tv. We have a 15-day free trial that's ongoing, and it supports us, supports the things we're doing, helps pay for the new reporters that we're in the process of hiring. We're going to get them down here and run them through InfoWars Reporter School, I guess is what we'll call it, and get them to go through the paces and see who's got the stuff to stay on the team and who wants to just be a correspondent, but that's going to be happening soon. Also, if you're not a member, consider joining Planet InfoWars. It is free to join, and you can join, get on there. We got all kinds of things, activism, preparedness, resistance, street art, dating, economics, entertainment. There's an Ask Alex section, a group that you can join, and actually send your questions in. We have one of our moderators, Christy, gets with Alex. She goes over the questions, and let me tell you, some of them are 10 minutes long. Some of them are 50 minutes long. It is just amazing to watch Alex go off on these questions. And it's not confined with the format of of the radio show where he's got callers got to get to, got to go to break, whatnot. It's just Alex Jones, one-on-one. You're asking him his questions. I think that's one of the greatest things that we have going at Planet InfoWars. In addition to all the great stuff, people are writing articles. We're putting those in at InfoWars.com. So continue. joining. Spread the word on that. Let's make it bigger than Facebook if we can. Show the megalomaniacal New World Order who's in charge here, and we're in charge of ourselves, and we can take care of ourselves as long as we reach out to one another and build these teams of resistance against tyranny. And with that, I'm Rob Dew, and you're watching InfoWars Nightly News.